Good morning, brethren. Well, days of unleavened bread are over now, and I'm sure we learned lots of lessons from that. And it's finally a sunny day out, starting to get a little bit warmer. I know during the days of unleavened bread, my wife, she's a big fan of the Godspell musical. She's been running around the house singing some of those songs, one of which is Light of the World. So I was thinking about that a little bit. And I was also thinking about how the days of unleavened bread remind us that we are different from the rest of the world. I know Lily went to a birthday party during the days of unleavened bread, and we had to warn her, you know, there's going to be cake, but you're not going to be able to have any cake. And she took that pretty well, but it does remind us, even from young to old, that we are different. And I think there's some lessons, some things that God intended with that. But please turn over with me to Malachi 3, starting in verse 13. Malachi 3, starting verse 13. And I'm going to read to verse 17. It says, and he's talking, this is the prophet talking, "Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wicked are raised up, and those who tempt God go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." Now God is contrasting the general community of Israel with who he truly defined as his people, the people who feared him. But notice how he describes them. He describes them as jewels. Now, some of you may know I like jewels. Rubies, emeralds, sapphires. They're very beautiful. They shine. And I have to admit, when we first got married, I loved taking Rachel to jewelry stores and looking at all the different gemstones. I was really into that. I still do a little bit, but it slowed down with kids. But in doing that, I learned that there were four qualities to a gemstone that really gave it its value. They were the cut, the carat, the clarity, and the color. Now, if you think about that, three of those rely on something other than the gemstone to give them the beauty and thus the value of the stone. I think clarity and color are obvious. Without light, you can't tell if a gemstone is clear, and you can't tell what color it is. And I would also say that the cut of each gemstone is very specific, and it's specific to give to show off the gem's qualities in a specific way, to let the light shine, reflect in a very specific way that gives it beauty. Now, I think it's no coincidence that God calls us jewels, because on its own, each gemstone in its natural condition is not as beautiful as it can be. It needs to be cut. It needs to have no imperfections in it, and it needs to have a clear color. Let's turn over to Revelation 21, verse 10 and 11. Read something similar. Revelation 21, verses 10 and 11. This is John. It says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." The city of Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, coming down, is described as a very rare jewel, shining with a perfectly clear light. Let's turn over to Revelation 22, start in verse 23. Oh, I'm sorry. 21, verses 23 through 27, it says, "And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, For the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Light. Now here we can see that the light of the city, New Jerusalem, is God. And it signifies that the era of darkness is over. If we look back to Hebrews 11, we see that that's our hope. Turn back to Hebrews 11 and verse 10. Hebrews 11, start at just verse 10, and it says, and this is speaking of Abraham, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was waiting, he was looking forward to this heavenly city, this beautiful heavenly city that shined so clear, so beautifully, because of the light of God within it. Now we can read further that God is light. Let's turn over to 1 John, described as light. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7, it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. You know, all those imperfections that we have, just like a jeweler or a master gem cutter, they look at the gemstone, they study it for long hours, and they figure out exactly how they're going to cut it. They know where the imperfections are. They make sure to get rid of the imperfections and keep just the best part of that gemstone. And God's saying that we need to get rid of the imperfections in us by his blood, the blood of Jesus, and have his light shining in us, with him living within us through his Holy Spirit. Let's turn to John 12. John chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 35. John chapter 12, starting verse 35, it says, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Jesus tells us that if we believe in him, so that we might become children of light, children of God. If we are God's jewels, then his light should shine through us. We have no beauty of our own, but only how we display the light of God within us. We need to think about that. Now, this week, as we were different, other people noticed that we were different. They noticed that we were doing different things. At work, there's a big jar of pretzels, and I happened to hit that jar of pretzels up pretty heavily on a daily basis. And this week, they noticed that the jar didn't seem to go down quite as much. They were commenting, and then they watched me eating crackers and matzahs. They were wondering what those weird-looking crackers were. But we do stand out, and we should, because we're supposed to be citizens of that kingdom. We're supposed to think of ourselves that way. Turn over to Ephesians 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, and verse 19. It says, now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, we are citizens of that household of God, and if we are, then we hope to be citizens of that heavenly city when it comes down that we read about in Revelation. And it was radiating light, God's light. And if we are citizens, and if we call ourselves Christians, then our lives are examples of God's way of life to all those who we come in contact with. We're sort of ambassadors of his way of life, for that's what we're intended to be. Now, we have a member in our Bethlehem congregation that's from Guyana. It's I've seen it on a map, but I've never been to Guyana, and I really don't know what the country is like other than how Mrs. Singh describes it. And she's told me, I've asked her a lot of questions about it because I get curious about different places. So she's told me about it, that it's a lush tropical island, tropical place with lots of fresh fruit and fish, and that the people are more laid back and very friendly. And I kind of have a picture in my mind of what Guyana is like just because of talking with Mrs. Singh. In the same way, brethren, if we're citizens of God's kingdom and we have the light of God truly living within us, we should be showing the world around us what God's way of life is like just through the way that we're living our lives. Now, many of the people in this world know very little of God or His way, and a lot of them don't even want to know, but some do. We live in a spiritually dark world where many people don't want to even acknowledge a need for God. So we as citizens of His kingdom really need to be consciously representing God's way of life and showing that light within us. I know for me that when I think about things in that way, it's more of a motivation for me to not give in to temptations that I know are wrong. Sometimes it's easy to say, it's not that big a deal. But people are watching us. We need to be obedient to God's commands and not compromisers. People will notice. And we need to be loving, kind, humble, forgiving people. People will especially notice that. But sometimes it's very easy for us to compare ourselves with people around us. But this isn't right. We need to have God's light shining through us, and we know that we live in a dark world. We need to compare ourselves to Jesus and make sure that His light is shining through us. Whether we like it or not, we're like gemstones in a jewelry shop. And if we fail and set a bad example, we're really taking God's name in vain because we've already defined ourselves as followers of Christ. Let's turn over for one final scripture to Matthew 5. We'll read verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5. Starting in verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus tells us that we are supposed to be seen. The darker the world is, the more brightly we should shine. We're supposed to reflect what life in that radiant city on the hill is like. Let us sparkle with the light of God radiating from our lives to give glory to God and be jewels that He truly is pleased with.